Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Just a little bit.
I think Washington has gotten respect. It is high noon in the District of Columbia, and the Commanders are in the final eight. They are in the divisional round of the playoffs. They have snapped the playoff win drought. Helping us understand how things have gone so well for Washington this season is our friend, Mr. Fred Smoot. What up, Fred? How are you, buddy?
Hey, what's up, brothers? How y'all doing?
We good, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. You got to realize we are right now in euphoria. We in places that we haven't been in decades. I am enjoying myself, and I am enjoying this ride that these youngsters are taking us on right now.
Dude, Fred, I'm with you, and I think it's going to be fascinating when, you know, when the time we look back on all the great things Washington did this season, you know, and snapping that playoff drought, all these things. But for me, one reason I really wanted to talk to you was to get a better understanding. Detroit absolutely kills teams. Detroit's offense, when they go against teams, when they play man-to-man, it is a problem, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They have about a 60% success rate. They're averaging 9 yards per attempt. They're getting downfield. Jared Goff's completing 74% of his passes against man defense with 22 touchdowns and no interceptions. What do you do when one team is that good against man coverage?
Well, let's be honest about this Detroit offense. You're talking about an offense that doesn't have flaws. You got the guy that takes the top off of the defense, and that's Jameson. And you got the guy that moves the chains, that's Rod St. Brown. You got the tight end that can make any catch and run any route. You got two running backs. You got one of the best offensive lines in football, and Jared Goff is the Rodney Dangerfield of quarterbacks. He gets no respect, but he's great. The one thing about them is you can bottle them up. Let's be honest about the Detroit Lions. They are a great team, but they are a great team that's flawed just like most other teams in the league. You're talking about a team that let Baker Mayfield come in there and beat them. You talk about a team that doesn't do well with running quarterbacks. Josh Allen put up 40 points on them. We're talking about a team that does have cracks in it, but when it talks about the offense, it's an offense that's almost unstoppable, but we are being but don't break defense. So we have the players to slow them down, because I'm not going to ever say stop them, but you can slow them down.
Well, what do you think, Fred, the best defense for their offense? Is it our offense keeping them off the field?
Yeah, it's most definitely. We got to do the same thing we did in Tampa, and that's play defense by playing offense and running the ball. We're talking about a defense that lost 13, 14 players. All right? We're talking about a defense that's giving up points. Besides the Minnesota Viking game, this defense has shown you that they can give up 400 yards, and if we can matriculate and get them under 60 plays, similar to what we had Baker, we have a chance to go in and win this game. And I know most people is not giving us a chance, but I tell you what, I believe in this team, because the one thing about this team, they don't quit, they don't care about what situation they in, and we going to Detroit to win the game. We're not going to Detroit to buy no Buick, we're not going to eat no Detroit pizza, and we going to win this game.
That's what I'm talking about, Freddie.
I love it. I think you're right about. Why do you think people still try to talk bad about Goff? Why is that?
Well, I think he's one of those quarterbacks. It's kind of like when you come into the league, people judge you about that. They do the same thing with other quarterbacks, but when it comes to Jared Goff, because he's not the latest model car, he's more of a Studebaker. He's more of a let me stand in the pocket and throw these dimes all over the place. He's not your Lamar Jackson that runs around, and he's kind of like a dying breed. And I think because of that, they don't give him the respect that he deserves, but I'm sure this defense respects him, and I respect him.
I mean, you look at him, he's been to a Super Bowl. He puts up numbers, astronomical numbers, every year with Detroit, and they still don't give it to him. But all these other quarterbacks, people try to praise Sam Darnold all year. and then he woke up.
Yep, yeah. Like one thing about it is the playoffs will expose who you really are, and Jared Goff has shown in many playoffs that I can play with the best of them, and nobody ever puts him in that upper tier of quarterbacks, but he's up in that upper tier of quarterbacks. Like I said, I think because he's such a late model, and now everybody's driving Teslas. Nobody wants to look back on the old Cutlass Supreme that he gets no love.
I think that's really interesting. We're talking with our friend Fred Smoot, of course, played here for the Skins, played for the Vikings, 9-year NFL career. Fred, you know, when you look at a matchup like this, when you have Williams and then you have St. Brown, Jameson Williams, Amon-Ra St. Brown, the Lions, you best use Marshawn Lattimore in this game.
I think you let him sit on one side and you play a shell defense. You're going to have to play zone against these guys. You're going to have to play bend but don't break football. A lot of cover two, a lot of cover four. Force them to see these two deep safeties and force them to be patient. The one thing about Ben Johnson's offense, they're not patient. They're not methodical. They're not going to matriculate this thing down the field. They don't like 14, 12, 10-play drives. They like the 8 plays, 9 plays. They like big plays. And if you can take that out of them and make them – be patient. I think then it changes everything when it comes to this offense. And I hate to say this, and I know people are going to be like, what are you talking about? I would rather them run than pass on me. Because when they start to get those big chunk yardage, that's when they start to put up 30, 40 points. So when I say bend but don't break, I want to force them to kick field goals. If we can force them to kick field goals in Detroit and take that crowd out of the game early, we have a chance to beat them. Like I said, they don't do well with running quarterbacks, and we got one of the best running quarterbacks in football in Jedi 5. So if we can go there on defense, bend but don't break, a lot of zone, we have a chance to be in this game.
Dude, how crazy is it? I totally agree with you, and I think when they scored that early touchdown against Tampa, going on that really long 17-play, 92-yard drive, it established the tone of that game of how Washington wanted to operate. But how wild is it that Washington, to me anyway, I think Goff is really good. I am not one of these folks that tries to knock Jared Goff.
Mm-hmm.
But Washington's going into the divisional round of the playoffs. And I think you can make a real easy argument that of the remaining remaining NFC quarterbacks, Washington's got the best one.
Yeah, most definitely we do. We got the one that you cannot quantify. We have a guy that's three levels. We have a guy that can beat you with his arm, he can beat you with his feet, and he can get outside the pocket to throw to run. He is a legit threat. He keeps defensive coordinators up at night trying to figure out how should I go about doing this, because he's a pinpoint passer. Like people don't like everybody talks about what he does with his legs, but these last 4 or 5 games, he's won it with his arm. He's done things with his arm that quarterbacks his age shouldn't be able to do. The game slows down for him. In big spaces, he understands, I have to go out here, I need to make this play. And what I really do love about Jedi 5 is, emotionally, he's in the middle. Like, when the play ain't good, he doesn't get down on himself. When the play is great, he doesn't get too high. He understands situations. He understands football. He understands what the team is trying to do to him. And I think because of that, he is the great equalizer. He's what I call a force multiplier. He don't need to have three number one wide receivers. He's going to make everybody around him better. And that in itself tells you what we have. He's given us a small microcosm of what's going to happen when we got to pay him in 5 years. He's saying, if you pay me, I don't need to have top-tier talent to make them look like top-tier talent.
For sure. I mean, you're already seeing it. I think at this point we know what Washington's got in Terry and just how good he's been and how much he can help you. I think you can count on Ertz as well in the pass game. Who do you think is like a sneaky player to kind of show up here? OZ, Diami, Eckler. I mean, is there somebody you think Washington needs a big game from? Saw Diami step up last week.
We're going to have to lean on the E equation. That's what I call it, the E equation. And that's Eckler and Ertz. Guys that's been there, guys that's done that, guys with playoff experience, guys that understand the situation. I'm going to lean on those two veterans because those two veterans can unlock things. First of all, is the tight end. It's the easiest pass and catch that you can do. He's the quarterback's best friend. Eckler is a guy, once he comes into the game as a defense, we're going to alert this guy. It's very much like when B. Mitch used to come into the game. You don't know if they're going to run the ball. You don't know if they're going to throw the ball. He's a very good pass blocker. He adds a element to the offense that the other running don't add, and he makes us on defense alert him. So when they alert him, they also give him special attention. That allows Terry to get open. That allows Deami Brown to get open. But every week, somebody else stands up and makes plays, and that's what makes this offense so unpredictable is the fact that they don't just say, we're going to force the ball to Terry. We're going to throw the ball to the weakness of the defense, and that takes discipline, and that takes understanding of how a defense is trying to attack you. So this shows what Cliff Kingsbury is teaching, and that shows what Jaden Daniels is learning.
You look at the game, the game plan. We hadn't run the ball effectively as of late, the traditional way. Do you think there's a possibility of us running the ball on Detroit, which I think opens up the passing game even more?
Yeah, B-Mitch, you got to realize they are on their third screen defensive line and linebackers. They are 14 people deep in injuries on defense. Oh, yeah, we're going to run the ball. Like, that's how you play good defense, is by running the ball. Like, if we want to beat this Detroit team, we're going to have to force that offense to watch the game as much as we watch the game. Because if you let them get on the field and dictate and make those big plays, they will run you out of Detroit. But when I watch that Bills game and watch what Josh Allen did. And don't forget, we just went down there and beat Tampa and Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield went to Detroit and blew the Detroit Lions out by keeping them off the field, and Bucky Irvin was running the ball. So as much as people love Detroit, they are beatable, all right? We've watched people beat them. And because of the injuries on defense, it gives me a lot of optimism that we can go up there and we can take this game. And I know everybody's going to talk about no rookie has ever made it to the Super Bowl, NFC Championship, all that. But all Jedi 5 have did all year long was break any tendencies, any curses, anything that people say we cannot do. With 5, I trust anything is believable, anything is achievable.
It's hard not to think that way. And, you know, when a team has that kind of belief in a quarterback, and then in turn in themselves and their ability to win really big, important games, I've said all year, Fred, or maybe not all year is probably an exaggeration, but by the time we got to like week 10 and Washington just kept staying in this thing, and then it's week 14, then it's week 17. Like, if you have this internal belief that no matter what the situation, as long as we got a chance late, we're going to win it, that's a really powerful thing. No team's going to be perfect. They got warts. They got problems. They don't stop to run all that well. You know, all these things. But that belief is a real changer for an organization.
We're getting in a situation where Jaden, he's proven that he's very much Patrick Mahomes like and Tom Brady like. Like, I've never had this belief since I've played for this team, since I've watched this team. If we get the ball last, we're going to win this game. He's getting into that rare feel of, if Jaden gets the ball last, you have lost this game. That means we have a closer. Manny Maria, the Sandman, bring him out. At the end of the day, if he touches the ball last, we will win this game. I am confident about that. But I also know this. They are going to come with a plan to try to force somebody else on our offense to beat them other than JD5. They're going to force either Brian Robinson, they're going to force Terry McLaurin, somebody to go out there and inflict their will on them. And I think we have the guys to do it. The thing is, this game is going to really, really take off about how it starts. And I know everybody want to talk about how it ends. But remember this. I watched Tampa on the coin flip. say we want to receive the ball because they want to make sure that the offense, our offense, was playing from behind. And that's the JD5 effect. Like, when they start to think on that level, so now you're playing Jedi mind tricks with not only the players, you're playing it with the coaches, because they're trying to figure out ways to outthink you on the field, because you're such a threat. When you get into that level, now you're starting to affect the mind of the coaches and the players, and that's different. That's a different aura right there.
Oh, yeah. The whole thing about him is that he's doing things that rookies don't do. And every time you look at him, he doesn't even seem like he's in a football game. And you know how this game is, Fred. You know, it's a irrational, it's an emotional game. And then you're looking at this dude, and he looks like he's sitting at home watching a damn cartoon. You know, at all times. And that upsets some people. And get them into a thing where I'm not playing the same game this dude playing. He has to be affecting people mentally.
His emotional stability is crazy. Like, if you look at him and Caleb, they are two different people when it comes to showing emotion. Our guy can go out there and throw for 400 and not even crack a smile. Our guy can go out there and throw an interception, come back to the sideline, act like nothing has happened. He doesn't do the emotional roller coaster. And I think because he doesn't do the emotional roller coaster, his team mimics that. So that's totally different, because usually as a young player, we are so high strung on what we can do and trying to prove to people what we can do. I don't see that from him. And that's the maturity that I think we're getting from this COVID babies. Like, that's why I said this could be the best quarterback class of all time, because these guys had that extra year. You're talking about 40, 50, 60 starts in college. Sure. I think because he's seen so much in college, he's numb, emotionally numb to the situations in the NFL.
I think that's a really interesting point. Like, you look at the quarterbacks that performed best this year. It was Nix and Daniels, right? Mm-hmm. Both those guys played 5 years.
A lot of ball.
A ton of snaps. Not just 5 years, but a ton of football. Fred, you had 21 career NFL interceptions, including 5 as a rookie, which is really damn impressive. The last thing I wanted to ask, Fred Smoot, if you want to give him a follow, you should do that. It's fsmoot21, Sean T, on Instagram and Twitter. Fred, the last thing I wanted to ask you, man, and, you know, this time last year, this organization was going through the coaching carousel, and man, does that suck, and every rumor gets, you know, circulated and hyped up. A year later, Dan Quinn has done a tremendous job with this team. What do you think of Dan's style, and how hard is it for a first-year coach to get a room full of young guys and veterans to all buy in this fast, to turn something around this quick?
You know what? We hear a lot of people talk about culture, but until you actually see somebody implement that, you don't really know what that means. And Dan Quinn has run everywhere he's been. Dan Quinn has left a track record of players loving to play for him. And the crazy thing about this, what I call the Dan Bowl that's going to go on Saturday, is leave your punter at home. These guys go for it on fourth down. Hey, B-Mitch, this might be a 2-hour football game. This might be the fastest football game we've ever seen.
Your punter got to play receiver, though. I'll take my punter over there, punter. Our punter's athletic as hell, man.
That's what I'm telling you. Like, these guys, this might be the fastest football game I've ever seen. These guys believe. It's nothing like having a coach. That's why I love the Joseph Coach Gibbs. It's not when you got a coach that believes in you, understands situation, and you understand the way they think, you play on their level, you understand where the bar is. That's everything to a football player. And I think with Coach Quinn, he's one of those guys. You understand that I will run through a brick wall for him. If I had a chance to play just 10 more snaps, I would love to play it for Coach Quinn, because he's one of those guys. If he believes in you, he believes in the team, he understands what a football game is about. And when you go out there and you go for it on fourth down, that lets you know that he believes that our offense could do anything. He believes that our defense, our special teams could do anything. And that small belief right there can change everything. So I just think what he's brought to us, you can't measure it. You can't measure it. And I knew when we signed him, everybody was like, we should have went for Ben Johnson. The one thing about Ben Johnson is I know he's great with the X's and O's. I don't know how good he is with the Jimmy and the Joes. And this is what Coach Quinn is showing you, is that I know people. I know players. I know how to build them up. I know how to tell them the truth. I know how to stand behind them and back them up. That's something that you cannot buy. It has to be genuinely a part of you. Walking into Commander's Park when I have to go do my shows, it's a totally different environment than it was with Ron Rivera. And I'm sorry, and I'm not scared to say it. It's totally damn different. It's a family atmosphere in there. And the one thing I know about family, you mess with one of us, you mess with all of us.
There you go, dog.
Like you said,
man, you excited. Hell, listen to me. I talked to Dan after games. I dap him up coming off the field. Hell, I want to play right now. I know I'm 56, but I bet you I can give him something.
and it's because you want to give to him, right? That's the whole thing about it. Like,
yeah.
This last, like, I know these feet can't take no more of it, but I would give him the last couple of miles I got on him because I would just love to play for a guy like that, a guy that I know that can get the best out of me.
Yep.
You know what, guys? The way you're talking, you make me want to rip off 4 or 5 blogs a day again, man. Just really start writing, start grinding.
What the hell are you talking about, Jay?
Just really start.
We want you to run through that wall, man.
Just really start creating this content.
Hey,
again,
run through that wall, Jay. I'll get you on the other side.
I'm a blogger.
Long as y'all don't let Jeff freestyle again, we got a chance, fellas.
Jeff, do you have anything to say? Fred, do you have anything to say to Fred? Oh, Jeff probably left.
Jeff ain't
there.
It sounds like
Jeff
left.
Gone already. He can't freestyle.
You're in freestyle and he ran the other way.
Fred, thank you for the time, man. Really appreciate it.
Anytime, fellas.
All right, that's our guy, Fred Smoot. Give him a follow at fsmoot21, Sean T. Always great talking with him. And you guys are right, man. You can, when I see you and Fred and Tana and guys at London, guys that played here and just want it to be good here, there is a level of pride and excitement. Like, I see it in your eyes that has been so lacking that it is really, really cool to see. When we come back, you'll hear from Dan Quinn. We've got Bobby Wagner news. Nobody go anywhere.